Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yes. Okay. Is this the final run for him or not? That was our discussion.
On the table.
We also said, hey, he usually flips a switch in the postseason and puts up Hall of Fame numbers in the postseason. Last year, all the talk about what he was doing in the regular season, and then he once again looked like Travis Kelce come playoff time. That can very well happen. What if it doesn't happen? Don't you feel like they're better prepared this go-around offensively if I tell you that Travis Kelce has a quiet postseason? A year ago, I think if I said that, well, they're not going to the Super Bowl. This year, if Travis Kelce is held in check, they've got Hopkins and Brown and Worthy and a 1-2 punch in the backfield now. I think they're better equipped to handle if he's quiet in the postseason.
Probably the first time since Tyreek left. Because, like, look, obviously they can win without Tyreek. They've continued to do so, including winning multiple Super Bowls. But since he left, every postseason, I'm like, yeah, I mean, Travis got to do something. Like, he's their main weapon. Their second main weapon has been a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster or, you know, anybody else, that, or MVS in one postseason run, or what, whoever, right? Guys who have certainly helped and have gone off, but that's while Travis Kelce was doing it. For the first time in a very long time, maybe since those Tyreek days, maybe ever, I do think that they can still be successful in offense without Travis Kelce. I still think he'll show up. So, like, my prediction and yours are on record of, I still think Travis Kelce will continue his streak of 13 consecutive games of 70 more receiving yards. Just as a reminder, like, I go to Underdog, 52.5 is what they have met. He has 13 consecutive of more than 70. So, yeah, I kind of assume Travis Kelce will once again be a big-time playoff performer. But if he isn't, if he's just 35 or 40 yards, he's the way we've discussed DeAndre Hopkins' regular season, where
timeliness of the catches.
Yeah, yeah. His catches are 4 for 40, but 3 of them were on third down, or one was on a scramble play with Mahomes where Travis Kelce sat down in his zone. It's just a good play at the right time. That's enough. He can't be a non-factor. He can't be non-existent in the offense and them get to the Super Bowl. But he can be less than what they've asked of him in previous years. And that's just because of what we said. Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown. I don't care if it's the backfield or Noah Gray.
No, I'm saying, what about Noah Gray?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, he's also, especially I would say the first month and a half of the season, he was crucial for this offense because
yeah.
at that point in time, Worthy was still looking like a rookie. You know, we know he's much better now. At that point in time, Hollywood Brown wasn't available. They really didn't have an answer. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't even here yet the first month of the season. So he was really crucial in the early part of the season, I should say. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a role. You mentioned MVS, though, just for fun, because we know we joked about playoff MVS a year ago.
Yeah.
Who do you think is
what
there,
a weird if, unlikely hero?
If there were to be one player that, so don't give me Kelce or D-Hop or the obvious names, somebody that has been semi-quiet that you could just go off in the playoffs.
Samaje Perine. He shockingly had like 500 yards from scrimmage this year, and I don't even know how. I legitimately don't know how. Like when? And it was all like kind of late in the season, I think, once they were like, they realized that they were trying to save a little bit of the Pacheco and they're trying to get him back, but Kareem Hunt's legs were kind of shot there for a bit. And nobody's emerged as the, like, we better give it to him every single time down the field. Samaje, that's my answer. Noah Gray's a good answer if that's yours.
Yeah, Noah Gray would be probably at the top of the list. I don't think I can even say Kareem Hunt. Does that count? Because
no,
I still think
they relied on him too much.
Even,
almost 1,000 yards.
Even though the running back split carry-wise, I think in the postseason is going to be, what, 60-40, something like that, in favor of Pacheco. I think we've all watched in short yardage situations, Kareem Hunt's been better. He just has. Whether it's vision or something else, he's been more effective. It's not to say Pacheco is not going to have a big play in the postseason. I think he will. The extra couple weeks off, maybe further removed from the ankle surgery, and that helps. But right now, if you tell me a 4th and 2, other than just keeping the ball in the hands of Mahomes, I would rather Kareem Hunt get the carry than Isaiah Pacheco right now. And it's just strictly a vision thing.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, I'm fine with them doing a 50-50 split because I do still think there's a chance that, what I've seen from Pacheco is not what I'll see moving forward for the same reasons you mentioned. We talk all the time about the players who are going to benefit the most from the rest. Chris Jones is an obvious answer. Travis Kelce is an obvious answer. Pacheco would probably be third on my list. Like, how is he, or Kareem Hunt, one of those two, right? I mean, some combination of the running backs. Kareem Hunt openly admitted in an interview that he was having a hard time getting off the couch late in the season because of how tired his body was. All the rushing totals are actually really low.
I saw
his
pulling up.
For those guys, all of them are pretty low. I think Pacheco was in like the 40s, and Kareem Hunt was like, nobody had some high number.
Whether you're on FanDuel or Underdog, wherever you're looking at making wagers, here's where some of the totals are, at least at FanDuel. Pacheco over under rushing yards, 41.5. Kareem Hunt is set 10 yards less. 31.5, and that the total makes sense yardage wise because I think if you were to look at the rush attempt props, Pacheco's probably going to be it's
total
10.5. Pacheco, Kareem Hunt over under is 8.5, so that's less than a 60-40 split or whatever. But I think Pacheco will get more carries. But if I was looking at a yardage or if I was looking at an anytime touchdown bet, I would feel a little bit better about Kareem Hunt than Isaiah Pacheco in this game.
I would at this point. Just based on the performance they've given this year, this is one of those we have, you and I have neglected, and probably all fans, because it's easy in the middle of the year. This was a Brett Veach masterclass this year. He, in the middle of the season, and I get it, part of it is his own doing.
The left tackle stuff.
Part of it is his own doing. He drafted Kingsley Suamataia. He thought it could be a starting left tackle. He couldn't be a starting left tackle. I think part of Wanye's issue with not being the guy who could start at left tackle for them was injury-related, something that is a little harder to deal with because he was hurt, seriously hurt, as Nate Taylor, I think, pointed out, for a chunk of the year. But, I mean, yeah, mistakes happen in the offseason. Can you still overcome them? He did everything to overcome left tackle, but getting DeAndre Hopkins in the middle, picking up Kareem Hunt after you lost Isaiah Pacheco, getting Xavier Worthy and DeAndre Hopkins, all these guys up to speed after you lost your number one offensive weapon. You lost your starting corner for a stretch of time. You've lost starting defensive players. You didn't have a Minnehue for half of it. I mean, he has had to, like, work more in the regular season, I feel like, than normal.
Well,
that's all.
In the middle of a three-peat campaign. You know, we've talked about like, how you approach three-peat. It was funny, I think, in the offseason, we went back and forth about all in. Like, I think you said, like, they got to go all in. Like, they have been all in, but there's a difference in a
maximum all in.
There's a difference in a three-peat year. You know, like, you're willing to maybe, and they didn't really have to mortgage the future. D-Hop's going to be a fifth or fourth round pick, depending on his usage.
Fifth, I think it's already
because he didn't get above whatever snap percentage. So that's not really mortgaging the future by any means, but they were willing to maybe make some moves and go right up against the cap throughout this dynasty run.